Good morning. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 19. We're going to go to part 2 of what we started talking about yesterday. Okay, 2 Kings chapter 19. And when King Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and entered the house of the Lord. Then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, with Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said to him, "Thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of distress, rebuke, and rejection. For children have come to birth, and there is no strength to deliver. Perhaps the Lord your God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom his master the king of Assyria has sent to reproach the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore offer prayer for the remnant that is left." So the servants of Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, "Thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid because of the words that you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will put a spirit in him so that he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will make him fall by the sword in his own land." Then Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria fighting against Libna, for he had heard that the king had left Lachish. And when he heard them say, concerning Tirhaka, king of Cush, "Behold, he has come out to fight against you," he sent messengers again to Hezekiah, saying, "Thus you shall say to Hezekiah, king of Judah, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the land of the king of Assyria. Behold, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands, destroying them completely. So will you be spared? Did the gods of those nations which my fathers destroyed deliver them, even Gozan and Haran, Rezpeth, and the sons of Eden who were in Telassar? Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, the king of the city of Sepharvaim, and of Hena and Eva?" Then Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it, and went up to the house of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, "O Lord, the God of Israel, who art enthroned above the cherubim, thou art the God, thou alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thy ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see. And listen to the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have devastated the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone, so they have destroyed them. And now, O Lord our God, I pray, deliver us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou alone, O Lord, art God." Then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah, saying, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because you have prayed to me about Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard you. This is the word that the Lord has spoken against him. She has despised you and mocked you, the virgin daughter of Zion. She has shaken her head against you, the daughter of Jerusalem. Whom have you reproached and blasphemed? And against whom have you raised your voice and haughtily lit up your eyes against the Holy One of Israel? Through your messengers you have reproached the Lord, and you have said, 'With my many chariots I came to the heights of the mountains, to the remotest parts of Lebanon. I cut down its tall cedars and its choice cypresses, and I entered its farthest lodging place, its thickest forest. I dug wells and drank foreign waters, and with the sole of my feet I dried up all the rivers of Egypt. Have you not heard? Long ago I did it. For ancient times I planned it. Now I have brought it to pass, that you shall turn fortified cities into ruinous heaps. Therefore their inhabitants were short of strength. They were dismayed and put to shame. They were as the vegetation of the field and as a green herb. As grass on the housetops is scorched before it is grown up, but I know you're sitting down, and you're going out, and you're coming in, and you're raging against me. Because of your raging against me, and because of your arrogance has come up to my ears, therefore I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way which you came. Then this shall be the sign for you. You shall eat this year what grows in itself, in the second year what springs from the same, and the third year sow, reap, plant vineyards and eat their fruit, and the surviving remnant of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant out of Mount Zion, survivors. The zeal of the Lord shall perform this. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come to this city or shoot an arrow there, neither shall he come before it with a shield, nor throw up a mound against it. By the way which, that he came, by the same he shall return, and he shall not come to this city, declares the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Then it happened that night that the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when men rose early in the morning, behold, all of them were dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and returned home and lived at Nineveh. And it came about as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer killed him with a sword, and they escaped into the land of Ararat. And Esarhaddon, his son, became king in his place. Amen. All right. It's a lot of stuff here, okay? So let's try to break it down in a timely manner. So remember what happens before Rabshakeh comes before and tries to basically tell them to taunt the Israelites into surrender. So he doesn't do that. The invasion happens. Things are messed up in this way. And so then the king, he hears the message and he tears his clothes. The tearing of the clothes was a sign of great distress. They typically tore their clothes as a sign of mourning in this regard, and they used to sit in uncomfortable clothing, which would be kind of an outward sign of an inward reality, and then in ashes as well. And so that would be the typical. So he tears his clothes, he goes into the house of the Lord, and then he sends his servant to go fetch Isaiah. And so this should give us a pretty good sign. Remember yesterday we said that Hezekiah, he was a really good king. He trusted in the Lord and he clung to the Lord and God blessed him. And now you actually see that happening. So you see Hezekiah, he hears the news, and where's the first place he goes? He goes to the house of the Lord. He goes to pray. He goes to seek God. What do most men do? First time bad news, they go to the bar. Right, you know, or they go to their girlfriend's house, or you know, I mean, something to that effect. But the man of God goes to the house of the Lord, and he begins to seek after him, and then he seeks after. And this is also very important. He seeks after wise, godly counsel. So he goes to. He says, "Go get Isaiah to come here." See, one thing that you have to understand is there's something about atmosphere. Thing about getting the right advice at the right time. There's something about making sure that we're going to the right people. And so Hezekiah goes to the rightest person that he could find, which is Isaiah, the prophet who's prophesying, the prophet over the land of Judah. And it's pretty amazing. And so when we're in distress, think about this. The man of God goes to the house of the Lord and he seeks the counsel of another man of God. And that's different. Usually, most people go to the counsel of whoever will listen to them. And whoever is available. And really going after, in essence, worldly counsel. And you see this all through the kings. A lot of these guys went and brought their counselors, and they said, well, why don't you go make a treaty with so-and-so, and it displeased the Lord. And so this guy does something right. Bad news, he goes to the house of the Lord. He clings to God. Then he seeks wise counsel. So he seeks for the comfort of Isaiah the prophet. So Isaiah comes, and I should say, more than just comfort, he seeks for the truth of God. Like, okay, I can see that we're in big trouble right now, but what is God saying? This is huge. Okay, I get it, but what is God saying through this? I talked about this in our staff meeting a couple weeks ago, and I talked about, it's kind of a anthropological kind of idea, but we talked about our reality and a big R reality. The small R reality is what you see. It's real. You know, you can't say, oh no, this didn't happen to me. No, that's a lie. No, this is real. Like, this person, he's sick, you know. This person is bankrupt. We can't say, no, I'm not going to say it because, no, that's ridiculous. It's reality. But what we call small R reality. What we're trying to find out is big R reality, which is God's reality. You can call it God's perspective. And so Hezekiah goes to get the perspective of the man of God, which would be, God's perspective, right? He says that he does nothing until he tells the prophets first. And so he goes to the house of the Lord. He gets the perspective of the man of God. And look what he says. Isaiah says, tell your king this, verse 6. Thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid because of the word that you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will put a spirit in him so that he shall hear rumor and return to his own land, and I'll make him fall by the sword in his own land. Think about this. So, the word of the Lord says, it's okay, Hezekiah, don't be afraid. God's basically saying, I got this. Just watch me work, okay? And that's exactly what happens. Sennacherib hears a rumor about Tirhaka. Now, just so there are two kings of Egypt, one southern, one's northern. So is the southern. Tirhaka was northern. Northern, much more powerful. So, not so much. So that gets to Rabshakeh's kind of taunting about Egypt the other day. But now, we're not talking about King So anymore. Now we're talking about King Tirhaka. This guy is powerful, mighty. There's actually still monuments around about his conquest. Temples still about the conquest of Tirhaka, the king of Cush. And so he hears a rumor that he's coming, so he leaves and he goes to gather his troops. So everything that Isaiah says is right. Now, that's not the important part. So Rabshakeh comes back with another message and probably even more incendiary than the first one, because Sennacherib wants to just take care of Judah. It's kind of like thing on his mind, okay, let me give a really harsh letter so they will surrender so I can really focus on Tirhaka. So that's his military thinking there. So look what the man of God does. So he takes the letter from the hand of the messengers. He reads it. What does he do? Then he goes back to the house of the Lord, and he talks to God about it. Now, this is really important, because think about this. Let's say you're in a really desperate situation. The prophet says, it's going to be okay. I got this. You know what most people do? Cool. Great. And we just leave and just kind of like just let the word take care of itself. What does Hezekiah do? He has the word of the Lord. But he goes into the house of the Lord to pray through. This is where a lot of people don't understand prophecy. This is where a lot of people get it really messed up, you know? They get a word, okay, I don't have to do anything. No, that's not true. In fact, most prophetic words are conditional. If you actually do a survey, it's conditioned on people's obedience. And so gives a prophetic word and he says, Isaiah says, don't be afraid. I got this, man. I'm going to send my spirit, my angel. He's going to confuse him and he's going to leave this land and he's going to die in his own land. And then most people will be like, oh, shoo. Oh, good. Taken care of. And then we move on to the next thing. Not Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a man of God. Hezekiah trusted the Lord. And so he takes this letter now. Even though he has the word of the Lord, I mean, from Isaiah the prophet, he has the word of the Lord, but he still goes in the house of the Lord to intercede. He lays out the letter. He presses into prayer. He says, Lord, see this attack. See what's happening here. You know, all these things. And look what happens. And then God answers. And this is the key. In verse 20, so Isaiah comes back on the scene. So Isaiah gave the word. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, and he says, listen to this, how beautiful this is. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because you have prayed to me about Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard you. Right? Because you prayed to me. Remember, after the prophetic word. So prophetic word happened. But he still pressed in. He wasn't lazy. He wasn't like, oh, okay, I can relax now. Violence is done away with. I don't have to do anything anymore. I got my word. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm going to be rich. I got the word. Then you don't do anything. You know, or, oh, I'm going to be married. I got the word. And you don't do anything. It doesn't work like that. It's conditional. And the praying, really, more than anything else, typifies our faith. So he goes before the Lord. I like this picture. He takes the letter and he spreads out the letter before God and says, God, did you read this letter? That's what he says. Did you read what this guy is saying about you? Do you hear this guy? Lord, do your stuff, you know, basically. And that's exactly what he does. And so Isaiah the prophet, so the next from 21 all the way down is basically a word against Sennacherib. And he's saying, basically, who do you think you are? You touch my people. Who do you think you're really going against? And he said, you're going against me, right? You know, it says in verse 22, whom have you reproached and blasphemed? Against whom have you raised your voice and hardly lift up your eyes? Against the Holy One of Israel. Like, you think you're messing with these guys. You know, you're messing with God, saying, you're messing with me. You're in big trouble. And in fact, all these wars and those things, who do you think gave you the power to do that? And he's telling Sennacherib, I gave you that power, fool. He just didn't recognize it. And so all these things happen. He says, look, he goes, verse 20 says, I know you're sitting down. I know when you're going out, when you're coming in, and I know you're raging against me. All these things. And so God takes it personally. He takes it as an affront to himself. And which is another big lesson for us to learn, right? You mess with the man of God, you mess with the woman of God, you're messing with God himself. Let there be some fear of God. That's why David says, I dare not touch God's anointed. Even though Saul was doing all kinds of stupid things. There should be a great sense of fear of the Lord in that regard. And so, all these things happen, and so then turns back to Hezekiah. Hezekiah, this is a sign. And he talks about the fruitfulness of the land. This is what's going to happen to you. And the Lord, the zeal of the Lord is going to perform it. The Lord of hosts. Now, the Lord of hosts, particularly meaning here, talking about his warrior angels, it could have that allusion to that, is going to perform this. And that's exactly what happens. So that night, remember I told you yesterday that God avenges Hezekiah and the people in a very, very spectacular, marvelous way. Other times, you know, he sends a storm. You know, he sends, like, confusion in the land, and people just run away. This time, he sent the angel of death in 35, and it happened that night that the angel Lord went out, right? This is the host, the Lord of hosts. Angel went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when men rose early in the morning, behold, all of them were dead. This is, you mess with God, this is what happens. An angel, I mean, see, other times, because other people did not taunt the armies of the living God like this king did with Rabshakeh. And he comes with vengeance. And then we see what happens later on is Sennacherib, he departs and he returns home to Nineveh. It won't say here, but he stays for 5 years. So 5 years this happens. What ends up happening, he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, and he was planning, this is what the most common thing, he was planning to sacrifice his two sons and to the god of Molech to restore his fortunes. So he's regrouping, so he's planning, and so the two sons like, no, I ain't going out like that. And so they kill him. And then the two sons flee, and then the one son, Esarhaddon, becomes king in his place. And so, remember what the word of the Lord was? I'll put a spirit in him so that he shall hear rumor, shall return to his own land. I'll make him fall by the sword in his own land, by his own sons. And so Sennacherib dies a horribly, grisly death in this regard. And so, pretty powerful. I told you, part two, a lot better than part one, right? You know, like I shared yesterday. But the way that God will bring about recompense for deeds is just spectacular in how this goes. But I want to focus on Hezekiah because I think we can learn a lot from Hezekiah. We can learn a lot now. I know that, you know, a few chapters are coming on and we know what we find out what happens to Hezekiah later on. But in the beginning, man, this guy was a good king. Think about it. Disaster, difficult circumstances come. Where does he run to? He runs to the arms of God. He runs into the house of the Lord, and he prays. He gets relief from a prophetic word. So what does he do? Does he relax? No, he goes back to pray. He prays it through. See, prayer is not just asking God for what we want. Prayer is our are really, it's our love language. It's okay, I will say this. It's God's love language. That's how God receives love. His people pray. It's the mode of relationship. That's how relationship gets built. And so Hezekiah, understanding this, goes back to the Lord. And notice, as he goes before God, most of his prayer, if you go from 15 down, most of his prayer is worship. You are the Lord Most High. You are the one who's exalted on the throne. I mean, he's just worshiping his Lord. You know, he's not there going, oh, God. You know, he goes to the house of the Lord. He says, Lord, this is what's happening, but you are the exalted. He just worships him. And out of that place, God moves. It's powerful, you know, when this works. So let's close our eyes. Let's learn a lot from Hezekiah. Ricky, what are you doing? He's mini me. He's matching me today. It's okay. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Do we do this ourselves? One, when we're in distress, do we go to the Lord first? Think about it. He hears the news. He tears his clothes, and he goes immediately. He doesn't go to his bedroom and sulk. He doesn't go to the local tavern and drink. He goes to the house of the Lord and prays. And then he finds and seeks the encouragement and the big R reality from the prophet. He gets wise counsel. And then, I think even more spectacularly, then he gets a prophetic word that everything's going to be okay. So what does he do? He goes back to the house of the Lord and he prays it through. I love what Isaiah says. It says, because you prayed about King Sennacherib, I have heard you. It was the prayers that activated the prophetic and brought about the fulfillment of the prophetic word. So we can look at it a couple ways this morning. Do you have a prophetic word that's unfulfilled? Like, you know God's spoken to you? Well, I ask you, what are you doing about it? Another way we look at it is, are you in distress, circumstances? Are you going to your hobbies, you know, try to get your mind off of it? Or alcohol, or whatever, TV? Are you going to the Lord? I think there's a tremendous amount of lessons we can learn out of today's text. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Age to age, he stands.
God had made him one. Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God.
You're the name.
You're the name above all names. You are worthy of our praise. Our God, all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God.
Well, let's pray this morning. Let's just respond to the word today. If you have a word that's unfulfilled, let's pray, huh? Let's do something about it. Let's not just sit there. Maybe you're in distress, some negative circumstances. Run to the house of the Lord. Run to the house of the Lord. Now, we do not have a high priest who does not sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in all things just as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let's run to the throne of grace and find mercy in our time of need. Let's find that throne and express our heart. Well, let's pray this morning. Let's pray for our community that are battling through cancer and illness and going through therapies. Well, let's pray. The smaller reality, maybe they're sick. Let's pray for God's reality, right? That healing is coming. Wholeness is coming. Let's just lift them up right now. Let's pray over our community that's ill but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing and let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community going through non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our sister. Pray the Lord would just provide work and provision for her. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Japan. Let's pray for Pastor Sophia. Pray for the country. Pray for her ministry. Let's also lift up SP New York. Pray for Chris and Amy and the small group that's meeting there. Pray for God's provision. Pray for Cambodia. Let's lift up Grace and the Oasis House of Pastor Jenny. Let's pray a lot of healing and just God's work would take place over these three countries, New York being a city. Let's just ask God to move over them. Let's pray for our missions council. Let's ask the Lord's hand over our leaders. Pray for Pastor Ricky as he leads. Pray for our mission endeavors that would lead us and that we'd be faithful to follow God's heart into the nations. Let's pray for our local outreach ministries, Agape, Homie, SP Lights, Freedom Bridge, and Recreation. Let's pray our volunteers would be strengthened and encouraged and would go out in anointing and really make a difference in people's lives. Let's pray for SP Fam. Let's lift up our foster adoption ministries. Let's pray for Cadence. Let's pray for our one baby we have right now that God's entrusted us with, Kahe. Let's ask the Lord to continue to bless him. I know there's some more babies coming soon. Let's pray that our community be ready and we will fulfill the mandate that is given to us. Let's pray for our Friday gatherings, SPUIP. EG is off for a few weeks as we'll be traveling for the wedding in South Africa. So let's pray for IP, pray for the college group, pray the Holy Spirit would move over us as we pray and as we gather together. Let's pray for house churches tonight, Elements, McCain, McDaddy, McRobinson, and Tavistock. Let's pray for our leaders that they would lead well, that Holy Spirit would just really meet with us during our discussions, and really significant, powerful ministry would take place. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, God, for the word today. Thank you for the life of Hezekiah. Thank you that he was a man after your own heart, God. Lord, that when he heard distressing news, Lord, he went to you. Lord, the only one, God, that he can find relief in. Lord, and then, God, he went to the man of God, Lord, to get your perspective, Lord. And even after a really great prophetic word, he still went back to the house of the Lord and sought your face, God. And you moved on his behalf. Lord, I pray that we would also be very faithful, Lord, with the words that you give us, God. That we would not be lazy, Lord. We would not have an attitude, Lord God, that just lets things slide, Lord. But we would take it to heart and we would run to the throne of grace. Lord, teach us, God, these things. We thank you, Father. We love you, Lord. Watch over us this week, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great prayer time and see you over the weekend. Have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday.